Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's just not fair. We hear those words that children speak to parents, protesting, if not their own innocence in some particular misadventure, at least making a plea that the punishment that mom or dad is doling out should be less severe, less stringent, less burdensome. And professors, truth be told, might from time to time, even in this place, hear the lament of a student stuck with a grade that seems to be less than generous, calling for some fairness. We want fairness. We demand justice. Of course, that is understandable. We long for a world that is predictable, where we know ahead of time the consequences of our behavior. We want to be assured that we get what we deserve. Diligence and hard work deserve reward. Laziness and lack of effort merit nothing. Good, better, best. Never let it rest until your good is better and your best is best. That's the motto by which the world lives. And if your better is best, then there should be some payoff, something in it for you, some benefit. You should get what you have earned. You should get what you deserve, be that in wages, grades, or recognition. Now, that's the way things work in the world, and we expect it to be so. The older son in our parable knew that. He lived with the knowledge that he was different from his younger brother. After all, he stayed home. He was the good boy. He was obedient. He invested his life in doing all the things that loyal sons should do. Now, when his little brother comes home after wasting his father's wealth in a reckless and self-satisfying life, only to be embraced and celebrated, well, he is angry. It's not fair. The father's forgiveness is disruptive. You see, forgiveness is always a threat to righteousness when that righteousness is our own. Doesn't his obedience count for something and at least merit some recognition? The late Gerhard Ferdi was fond of saying that sinners come in two varieties. There are those, he said, who are addicted to lawlessness, and then there are those who are addicted to lawfulness. The prodigal son, you know, he was the lawless one. He grabs for freedom. He takes the inheritance and he runs away, leaving his father as dead. He quickly enacts the truth of the old proverb that a fool and his money are soon parted. But the prodigal's pleasure turns to pain. The life that was self-chosen, the life that he thought would be so carefree, has now become an imposition, a burden. His freedom is bondage as he realizes that he has exchanged life in his father's house for life in a pigsty. Jesus says that the prodigal comes to himself. His lawlessness cannot sustain his life. He prepares a confession, and he returns home only with the request that he be treated as one of his father's hired hands. But before he can confess, Before he can get the words out of his mouth, he is intercepted by the very father he had rejected and declared dead. The father does not wait until his son is bathed and dressed in clean clothes before he hugs him. In his gladness to recover his son, the father does not turn away from the dirt and the body odor. He does not tell his son to first prove himself worthy of being readmitted to the family. He does not consign the son to a period of penitential probation. The father's verdict is expressed in his action. Calling for the best robes, the ring, and the killing of the fatted calf, the father enfolds his son in the forgiveness of sins. With the father's forgiveness, this son who was dead is now alive. And you see, that's what forgiveness of sins does. It raises from the dead and it gives life. That absolution was disruptive. For the prodigal, it was restoration to sonship. But for his older brother, the father's pardon of his wayward sibling brought to light his own sin, his own addiction to lawfulness. We hear from his lips the protestation of his righteousness, his self-righteousness. It is self-righteousness that blinds him both to the goodness of his father, goodness that was there for him all along, and it was blindness to the miracle that had just taken place before his eyes. It was blindness to the miracle of absolution, that this brother of his who was dead is now alive, that his brother who was lost is found. The answer both to lawlessness and lawfulness is confession and absolution. You heard it again from the Catechism this morning. Recall those words. Confession has two parts. First, we confess our sins, and second, we receive absolution. That is forgiveness from the pastor as from God himself, not doubting but firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. The Lord, who tells us the parable of the two sons, the lawless sinner and the lawful sinner, is the one whose association with sinners would cost him his very life. By his death, you are redeemed. You are redeemed from lawlessness. But you are also redeemed from lawfulness. His absolution, spoken here on earth, says how it is before God in heaven. And so, for the sheer joy of speaking it so that you might hear it again, listen to those words. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.